Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day vacation fix for Wednesday, March 30th, 2016. Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm talking to Don Donfris about a non-Disney destination vacation because Don and his family took a vacation over Christmas to Dollywood. Welcome to the show, Don.
How we doing tonight, Aaron?
Doing all right, doing all right. So this was a completely different kind of trip. Had you been to Dollywood before?
No, we hadn't. We were just looking for something different. We knew we wanted to get away for the holidays and just figured things would be a little crazy at Walt Disney. So we decided to try something a little different. We wanted to do something a little warmer. So that's what we decided on.
Okay. So you decided to head to Dollywood, and I understand that this was a driving vacation for you. So you know, give me maybe, first of all, you know, we like to talk about time, or we like to talk about the planning phase, right? How all this came together. So at what point was it that you decided that you were going to take this, you know, family Christmas vacation to Dollywood? How much lead time did you give yourselves?
I think we started really planning in September, October is when we started really getting serious about it.
Okay. So, I mean, you gave yourself 3 or 4 months, but it not the maybe 9 to 12 months that a lot of people would take for a Disney trip.
Right. You know, it was kind of based on Renee's brother had passed away. He always came by our house at the holidays. So my wife and daughter really wanted to not spend the holidays at home.
Okay.
So that's why we decided. And with the way everything was going, it just took us a while to come to that decision of where to go and what to do. So that's why it was kind of a little bit closer
to go. That makes a certain amount of sense. So you basically just decided that you wanted a different kind of Christmas experience than was your normal because life had changed. And,
yes,
you know, you felt like you needed a fresh perspective.
Yes, exactly. So it was, you know, we wanted to just do something different, and we had never been. I had always read good things about going to Dollywood and stuff. So, you know, we decided, okay, let's give it a shot. You know, and
so when you're doing a Dollywood trip, how does the planning start? You start with your accommodations. You start with the entertainment plans. You know, what do you build? Because I know how I would do a Disney vacation, right? I mean, I know I would probably start with crowd levels and work from there. In this case, you know, you knew the time that you were going to go there. You knew the dates. What was next?
We decided the biggest thing was accommodations, figuring out what we wanted to do. Where do we want to stay? Because similar to Disney, they do have a Dollywood resort. And we looked into that, and it was pretty pricey. And not that it was completely out of budget, but it was like, okay, what are we getting? And we decided that because this being in the mountains over here, we really wanted to kind of get a feel for being in the area, being in the Smokies, kind of experiencing that. So sure. We went away from being at the resort, and we ended up picking a cabin in the mountains. So, and that's a pretty broad spectrum of things. You go online, and there are literally probably thousands of, maybe not quite thousands, but a great deal
lots of mountain cabins out there. So how do you narrow the field? How do you figure out where to start?
We just started going through the sites. We just started going through sites, and you know, a lot of the sites are pretty good, some better than others, and you kind of give them your parameters on what you're looking for. So they'll narrow it down from that perspective.
Okay.
Of you know, so for us it was, we wanted 2 bedrooms, we wanted 2 bathrooms, and we wanted a mountain view. Because you can, again, you know, you can keep narrowing it down, or, you know, as broad as you want, or as narrow as you want it.
So you're narrowing it by features, and presumably also to some extent by location, you know, how far away you're willing to be from particular attractions, that kind of thing. All right.
Exactly.
So you find yourself your accommodations, and what's the next piece? How, I guess part of what I'm getting at here is how much advanced planning maybe is going into this as compared to a theme park vacation, or a, you know, a Disney theme park vacation.
I don't think you need quite as much as, say, at Disney, because we were only 3 to 4 months out, and closer to 3 months, and we were able to pretty much get everything we were looking for. If we had been maybe a little farther out, we might have got a little bit more choices as far as the cabin that we wanted, but there was still a great deal of availability for what we wanted. So I think, you know, and that we found out once we were down there, I didn't research that heavily enough, that actually is their busiest time of the year. I don't know why I was surprised by that. Not sure, but, you know, we got down there and it was crazy. You know, we started talking and we knew it would be busy because, you know, that's just a travel time.
Right.
But they said we were talking to several people, and by far that is their busiest time of the year.
Okay.
For everything.
So talk to us a little bit about what kinds of activities you're booking, you know, 60 days in advance for Dollywood.
Activities actually at Dollywood, you don't need, there's no really advance reservations for anything.
Okay.
As far as the park goes, they do have a pay thing. And I'm sorry, I don't have the exact cost of it, but to get to the front of the lines, I didn't think it was necessary, and it proved out true. When we were there, as long as we got an early jump on the rides, we never waited more than a half hour for anything, and actually most of the stuff was less than 15 minutes.
Okay, so that's good to know. So they do offer you know, whatever Fast Pass, Express Pass, you know, queue-saving, time-saving kind of thing, but you found that it wasn't really necessary to purchase it even on their busiest days of the year.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have any problem.
We had no problem. As long as we got to the rides, we hit the big rides that we wanted to hit first thing. Later in the day, some of the rides, yeah, it started to build up pretty good. But by that point, we would mostly get most of the stuff we wanted to do. They have a ton of entertainment in their parks. Live entertainment, singing, plays, shows, all that, and they're awesome as far as that goes.
Okay.
And
now, is that the kind of thing that you're looking at booking farther out? Or I guess I'm just trying to get a handle on what it is.
No, those things you really don't have to book out. I mean, there is no booking out on it.
Oh, okay.
Just have to arrive to those shows with plenty of time to, you know, make sure you get in line for them.
Okay.
But there's no advanced booking on any of that stuff. As far as seeing any of the shows.
Okay.
So.
Well, let's then kind of jump right into it and talk about the vacation itself, because you had a nice long vacation, really. You had that full week. You said you mentioned to me before we started recording that you had arrived on Christmas Day.
Yes.
So you drove down from Illinois. How far a drive is it?
It's about 8 hours, a little over 8 hours.
Okay.
If you drove straight through, we actually ended up stopping couple times for, you know, gas and brakes and what have you.
Right.
So getting down there that time of year, you don't quite realize how, or at least I didn't, how mountainous it is when you're down there.
Yeah, once you get down there, those Smoky Mountains are mountains.
It's dark at night. So, you know, we get down there, and luckily using the GPS, but you start going up the side of a hill and or side of a mountain, and there's gravel roads and blind turns, and you're like,
I remember doing that years ago, driving to New Orleans, you know, going from Kansas City to New Orleans, kind of through the mountains around Arkansas there. And there are some pretty scary spots along that way.
Yeah. You know, and it was just like, okay, everybody, nobody say a word. I have got to be focused here. But it all worked out real. It was fun, and that was part of the adventure. Actually, it was like, okay, this is crazy because we're from Illinois, which is about as flat gets, and you know, so we don't get to see that too often.
Right.
So we got down there Christmas Eve. Mostly everything is pretty much closed. So we had brought food with us to make sure, because we had an actual, you know, kitchen and everything.
Okay, so that's one of the advantages of staying in one of the cabins there, is that, you know, kind of like staying in a DVC room. You know, you've got a full kitchen.
Right. So it was nice. So we were able to get down there. We were able to through our Christmas Day dinner together. We brought some, you know, a ham with us, and you know, potatoes and all that stuff. And so we had a nice little evening dinner, you know, when we got down there. So the next day we went to start out at Dollywood. What did we do? About three or four of the big roller coasters, and then we did a bunch of the shows.
Okay. Well, so talk to me first about the rides. What were the rides that really stood out as being ones that you know, for whatever reason, left an impression?
Yeah, the roller coasters are really pretty good. Their wood roller coaster, which they're building another one, which is going to open up this spring, is rated very highly among coaster enthusiasts. In fact, we ran to a gentleman in line. This guy, he's been traveling all over the world doing roller coasters.
Yeah.
And he rates this one as in his top 10.
Wow.
So it was pretty cool. And everything is built into the side of the mountain. So you have these spectacular views as you're flying around. So they have a regular wood roller coaster, a couple steel ones, which were really nice. They have a kind of... like the what do they call it? Like the mouse,
right? Style. Wild mouse type.
Yeah, where it's not real fast, but you're going like straight up and dropping down straight. It's like you're in a mine shaft.
Right. Yeah. So the ones that are sort of quick turn.
Yeah. So that was really cool. That was actually ended up being kind of one of our favorites, because it was, you know, a lot of. You didn't know exactly where everything was, so it was pretty cool like that.
Uh-huh.
The one steel coaster built in the side of the mountain, that was awesome, because you're just these amazing views around. That was really good. And then they have a train.
Okay, so I think I'm seeing. I just kind of was looking to see online here while we're talking, you know, so I'd have an idea of what we're talking about here. So sounds to me like you've been describing maybe the Thunderhead roller coaster.
Thunderhead, yes.
Okay, so that's the big wooden one that you were talking about.
Yes.
And then perhaps in terms of the steel one, maybe Tennessee Tornado.
Yeah, Tennessee Tornado, and then there was also Blazing Fury, which is pretty good. It's kind of like you're supposed to be like on a fire,
okay,
on a fire engine going through the forest, you know,
uh-huh,
with lookouts for the for the fire. And actually, there's kind of an explosion part on it where you kind of something like when you're on Everest, you know, where it you actually go backwards like you do on Everest. It's like you pull into this.
No way. Is the backward on Blazing Fury, or is the backward on because I just saw some on the reference to that. Is that Fire Chaser Express?
Oh, it might be Fire Chaser Express. That's probably it.
Yeah, because they say something here about blasting riders forward and backward.
Yes, that's it. I got them mixed up there.
That's all right. So, I can understand why, because you've got two sort of, you know, firefighter themed coasters there.
Yes. So that was pretty cool one as well.
And I mean, it looks like they've got a number of your sort of classic flat rides as well that are quite similar to things that, you know, we're used to it at Walt Disney World. I mean, down to amazing flying elephants.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's, I put it on par. It's not quite up to Disney and Universal as far as, I guess everybody was really friendly, but it was just not quite Disney and Universal go out of your way, you know, try to make this the most amazing experiences that they can.
Okay.
Everybody was pleasant enough. And this is no cut against anybody, but I think most of their employees are older.
Interesting.
I think it's a lot of people down in that area that don't have other jobs.
Right.
So this is, it's not like a bunch of young kids working there. It's not, you know, right. That's what we seem to run into. I mean, we were in the ice cream shop, and I swear to God, the four ladies running the ice cream shop were all at least 70 years old.
Okay.
And, you know, you got a line out the door.
Right. Pleasant enough, but they move at their pace.
Yeah. So. Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, it was, you know, we were just like, okay.
Things you don't think about when you wonder about, you know, the whether the college program is the best way to go to fill those spots at Walt Disney World, right?
Right. So, you know, and you know, everything's very nice, just not quite as themed as Disney and Universal. There's, you know, it's just, but it's certainly better than our Great America.
Uh-huh.
Well better, you know.
Right.
Much better.
So maybe in a kind of in between the amusement park tier and the, you know, Disney Universal theme park.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly where I was putting it, was is not quite there, but not the regular, you know, amusement park thing.
Okay.
So.
And, you know, you also mentioned that there was quite a bit of entertainment.
Yes.
So what of the live entertainment, you know, that you took in really kind of stood out for you?
They had, well, because it was Christmas time, most of the shows were geared toward a Christmas theme.
Okay.
So they did. It's also, and again, this is not against anybody or anything like that, but it's a very conservative with a lot of religious undertone.
Okay.
To everything.
Sure.
So everything was very, you know. There was actually a couple of gospel shows. Everything was, you know, very Christian lean toward everything.
Right. Which, you know, look, if you're there with your family celebrating Christmas, it probably was.
Oh, it was what you expected and wanted. Yeah. Yeah. It was, there was nothing overly offensive about anything like that or anything like that. It just, if you're not very religious, you might be slightly turned off by some of the shows.
Yeah, maybe. I can see that.
Because they really did have a religious overtone to them.
Right.
So, favorite shows. One was one of the gospel shows, and I guess these guys have been doing it there for almost 20 years.
Wow.
And they're like very famous for doing what they do. So that was really good. They're amazing singers. The Night Before Christmas was a really good show. They had a Dolly Parton themed show, which was kind of neat because it had some of her cousins and a couple of her cousins and one of her sisters sing. So it kind of brought it all into the Dolly things, you know.
Right.
Meaning. Yeah, let's see which others. They had a bluegrass band, which were. Every one of the shows, I mean, and one of the differences for their shows as opposed to some of the stuff at Disney and Universal was all the singing was actually live.
Right, yeah, it's really focused on true live performance.
Yes.
I noticed that just looking through the page here.
Yes, I mean, you know, not that the stuff at Disney isn't very good and everything like that, but a lot of the performances are not live.
Right.
And this was all live music, all live singing, and they were all extremely good. I mean, there was nothing like, oh, these are just kind of amateurs. These were like really good, really good. Like, I would have been more than happy to pay to see any of these performances.
Right, and these are all included in your price of admission to the theme park itself.
Yeah, if I recall, I think Renee had, I think there was 8 or 10 different shows of performance shows.
Uh-huh.
So we saw those over two days, you know, because obviously there's no way you can see them all in a day or whatever.
No, it's certainly not if you're also experiencing, you know,
yes,
rides and things as well.
Yes. So that, and they really, really decorate for the holidays. It is amazing, the pictures that are the way they decorate everything, especially the front of the park. Really cool.
Describe what they do to decorate the front of the park that really stuck in your mind.
Every tree literally has lights in it. And I mean, not just a few lights. I mean, bright as day when they're lit up, like, holy cow, it's just stands out because it's the sky is so black and everything around it, and this they use all the bright LED colors, and all the facades of all the buildings are just string after string after string after string of lights. I mean, it's not just a string here or two here, it's just lights. And then the pathway, there's kind of this rambling path that goes toward all the roller coasters on the one side of the park. And it was, there had to be probably 30 or so Christmas trees all lined up, all lit up, completely lit up. They also had a kind of a, oh, it was probably, I think, I don't know, it's probably a 30 or 40 foot tall tree that they do like a light show every 15 minutes in the evening, where it's all the lights move to the music, to Christmas music.
Oh, which, okay.
Really, really good. Really
so,
good.
So how would you compare it to, I mean, obviously it's a different setting, but how would you compare it in terms of the sort of creativity and quality of the light music show with Osborne Lights?
Not quite to Osborne, but the front of the park, I mean, is well lit, almost as Osborne Lights. The light show on the Christmas tree, I mean, it's just one tree as opposed to a whole street of trees.
Okay, so it's not all of those trees you were describing.
No, yeah, it's not all those trees. This is just one tree. So yeah, it's not quite up to there, but I would compare it certainly. The front of the park compared easily to Main Street, as far as the lighting and everything like that goes, and so it was very very festive. So from there, it was very nice. It was very nice.
All right, that sounds great. So we talked about shows. We talked about some of the theme park attractions. It sounds like you spent two full days in the theme park.
Yeah, we actually did Like 2.5 days, actually, we ended up. So we, yeah, 2 full days, got almost all the rides done. They have a really neat, another area where it's kind of all, crafting. Like they have woodworkers, steel, forging, pottery. What else was there? There was, some specialty foods there. And it's all these people don't work for Dollywood.
They're they're like guest artisans that come in and
Right, exactly. So that was pretty cool because they actually do their stuff right there. Like, you know, the forging and stuff like that. They had actually, you know, fire pits and they're bending metal and twisting it and making different crafts and stuff like that. Same with the pottery. Actually, you know, making it there. That was really neat. They had a glass blowing place, and actually Naya was able to make her own blown glass ornament.
Oh, cool.
So, and it doesn't cost anything other than obviously the cost of you pay for the ornament, right, which I think is like, I don't know, it's like $20-something, but there's no charge for you to actually have to do it. You know, it's, you can buy one of these ornaments off the thing, or you can, you know, get in line and blow your own, you know, and they show you how to do it and everything like that. So that was kind of cool.
That does sound cool. All right, so about 2.5 days kind of exploring all those theme park things. What other area attractions there in and around Pigeon Forge did you include? Because you had 6 days.
Right. So
what else were you doing while you were there?
There's the two areas down there are Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg.
Okay.
They're right next to each other, basically. They are very touristy. So... we were kind of thinking a little more that it was going to be a little more quaint areas. It's in your face, tie-dye t-shirts and tchotchkes everywhere. But
so it's the classic, you know, the Niagara Falls tourist trap kind of atmosphere.
Yeah. Like by us, we call it, Wisconsin Dells is like that. So,
okay.
But anyway, yeah, but there were a couple of really cool things. Their aquarium, really very nice. Very nice. Some friends of mine had recommended it. A huge shark tank. And you can actually, they have one of those tunnels where the sharks are all around you. You're walking through a tunnel in this pool, and the sharks are all around you. So you can... You know, they're really above you and next to you and everything else.
So a little bit like the area at Typhoon Lagoon that has the sharks, where you go through the little tunnel thing and the sharks are around it.
Yes. But these were big sharks. Really cool. Okay. So that was really neat, the aquarium. I spent a couple hours there. The other thing that surprised me that was really cool was... they have a Titanic museum. And I don't know, I had in my mind something like from the movie that it was going to be kind of corny and all this and that. But it was really, really fascinating because they had actual artifacts from the boat. They actually recreated like some of the staterooms from the different classes. They had interviews from people.
Wow. Like a real museum. Like this wasn't just
Exactly. That's what I had in my head that it was going to, I'm like, okay, you know, and Renee and Naya wanted to see it. And I'm like, all right, you know, and in fact, I was almost just going to say, you guys go in, I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to waste my money going in, but you know, I figured, I'll do it.
As long as you're there.
Yeah, and I was probably more amazed by it than they were. Because once you check in, it is kind of costly. I think it was like $28 a person. to get in.
Okay. So it wasn't cheap, but...
No, it's not cheap.
But it's still, what, you know, half the price of a water park admission at Disney?
Sure. Yeah. And so you check in, get your tickets. They give you a... it's almost like a phone almost that corresponds. There's a number that corresponds on all the different things, and you hit the number on this phone and it plays you an audio from that describes what you're seeing, which is really good.
Okay. It's almost like it's like having a tour guide without having to have a private tour guide.
Yeah. Yeah. But on top of that, they also had people in every so often they would have people there that all knew exactly everything about what you were seeing.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they had both.
Yeah. So it was really good that way. And then you're also given a card when you walk in of a passenger that was on the ship, a real passenger on the ship. So you might be somebody that was on first class. You might be somebody that was in third class. You might have been one of the workers that was on the ship. It could be anybody. You're just randomly handed a card. So like the three of us, I was one of the workers that worked on the engine room.
Oh, okay.
Naya was a second class passenger, and Renee was a third class passenger.
Okay.
And in the end, then you find out if you survived.
Right. Well, and that's interesting for a couple of reasons. Like, number one, it's interesting because it makes the experience of the museum more personal and more intimate, but it also sort of makes that end piece about who survives and who doesn't more impactful.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, so you get to the end and then they have this big wall with all the names of everybody on there. And then they have, you know, on one side of it, they have all the people that survived, and on the other side, they have all the people that perished. So it was pretty cool. And like, you know, at one point they had this big pool in there and it's refrigerated to how cold the water actually was that these people had to get into.
Oh, wow.
When they got off the boat. And I mean, you put your hand in this and you're like, holy crap. You know, how does anybody survive jumping into this water? Because it is that cold, you know, and they had a wall of steel that simulated how cold the glacier was, iceberg was, you know.
Uh-huh.
They had a display on how steep the pitch was as the boat was starting to sink. So at one point it's, you know, at one pitch, you know, at another point it's at, you know, and then when it finally goes over and how people are trying to stand on this, you know, like I said, they actually had third class room. They actually had the staircase, the grand staircase, a replica of that. You know, it was really, really well done. I would actually, if we went again, I would actually do it again, even though we just did it. It was very good.
Okay, cool. That sounds like a great find. So aquarium was good. The Titanic Museum was really good. Any other of those you know, extra activities that you really enjoyed?
We're also real close to one of the parks, the national parks. So we went there for half a day, kind of did some, walked some trails. That was really cool. They do it really well. They had this amazing start point that described all the trails and everything like that. So that was really nice. We did spend about a half a day in Gatlinburg. And again, that was very touristy. One cool thing was testing out all the moonshine. So,
it's a little moonshine tasting.
Yeah.
Never hurt anybody as long as it was just a little.
No, yeah. And, you know, they have these, you walk into this place and it's a big room with a bunch of big round tables in it. And there's a bartender in the center of each one of these. And then they set it up, everybody stands around it, and then you're going to try, I think it was 6 different flavors. And they give you like these half-ounce shots.
Uh-huh.
And you get to taste each one. And then, of course, at the end, okay, who wants to buy this? You know, but again, those were a little on the pricey side. It was like $25 for a mason jar.
Hmm. Okay.
So I was like,
a little steep.
Yeah. Renee's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to drink that much moonshine.
I didn't like it enough to spend $25 on a mason jar full.
Yeah, I'm not going to come home at night after work and go, yeah, I think I'm going to crack open a the mason jar and have a shot of moonshine. You know, it'd be one thing if you're having a party or something like that, then it'd be kind of fun to, you know,
right.
But check it out and stuff. But that was kind of neat. And the rest of it on there was a lot of, like I said, a lot of little shops and stuff like that. Because of that, we decided to take another little excursion, and we actually drove about an hour and a half away to North Carolina to the Biltmore mansion.
Oh, okay. So you kind of made an extra little side trip, you know, yeah, another hour and a half farther south.
Yeah, yeah. And that was incredible as well. You know, again, Renee and I wanted to do it more, and I was like, you know, okay, it's a mansion. You know, what are we going to do? This is the biggest mansion in America. It's 240 rooms in this thing.
Yeah.
175,000 square feet. Built in the late 1800s, and it is just very incredible. Incredible. The opulence and the way that it was done is just amazing.
So it's a pretty impressive finished carpentry, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I really got into that. I was like, holy cow, you know, we walk into the one room, it was the men's billiard room.
Okay.
And there were like 2 or 3 tables in this room, and this room was probably 30 by 30 at least, maybe 40 by 40. 2.5 stories tall, all walnut walls, all big trim. I'm like looking around, I'm going, this room alone is probably worth more than my house is. Just this room.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, just the materials in this room to actually replicate this in this day and age would be, I was floored. And you know, when you think about, you know, at that time, the way everything was done, most of it was done by hand.
Right.
It's just incredible, you know. So I would highly recommend anybody that ever is in that area to do that. Again, it is pricey. I think it was $70-something a person.
Ooh, wow.
For the day. And then it was like 11 for the audio tour. Again,
wow, so you paid 70 and that didn't include the audio tour.
No, you know, which I was like, huh? but when you get into it again, and when I was all done, I was like, okay, that was expensive, but it was worth it.
Okay.
I was done.
Okay,
I was
so
like,
you did get value out of it.
Because it's not just the, you know, once you get into this, there's also like garden, you could spend literally a whole day in this, at this place. You know, there's dining, there's shopping, there's gardens, there's trails to walk. There's a winery. So there's a lot to do. You can literally, so when you get down to it, it's, you know, it's like the Disney thing. You're spending $100 or whatever for a full day's worth of entertainment.
Right.
This was $70-something. Granted, not quite up to Disney, but it was still, I mean, you could literally, we got there late morning. You know, we didn't leave till 7 o'clock at night. And
right,
we actually kind of cut it short because the weather wasn't that great when we were there. So we could have actually done more.
You really did get a full day out of it.
Yeah. I mean, you can literally spend a full day there. So it was very interesting, very cool. We really enjoyed it. So it was well worth doing it.
All right, sounds like it. So we've talked about entertainment. We've talked about, you know, theme park rides. We've talked about other attractions. The one thing we haven't talked about that we always make sure we talk about on Trip Reports is food. And obviously you did, you know, some of your own cooking because you had the cabin and, you know, you Christmas dinner yourself and all that.
Yeah.
But were there any meals out and about that, you know, stood out as being particularly good or things, you know, if somebody else is going, they ought to avoid? Either way, really.
I would say that the food at Dollywood was eh.
Okay.
Not terrible, but nothing stood out. Although I should say, wait, there was one thing that would probably be a Disney type pilgrimage is the cinnamon bread.
Oh.
They have this place where they make this, yeah, probably about an 8-10 inch loaf of cinnamon bread. It's coated with butter, cinnamon, and sugar. And then you can get dipping sauces, and it's kind of like you can pull off of this and just. And Renee gets, we get this thing because you could just, as you're walking by this, you just, the smell is just like, oh my gosh, that is incredible. So we go in there, we buy one, and Renee's looking at it, she's like, there's no way the three of us are going to eat that whole thing. It was gone in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yes way.
So. That was really good. They have homemade potato chips with all different kinds of seasonings. Those are really good. They do have a refillable mug. So if you drink soda and stuff like that, that was pretty good. That was nice to have. You know, we bought one mug for all of us and did that. The rest of the food was just eh. So there. Food at the Biltmore was very good. We ate at two different places there. And that was really good. The rest of the food, we made breakfast every day at the cabin.
Back at the cabin, sure.
So we never got out to check out any other places for breakfasts and stuff like that. And the rest of it was just kind of just typical stuff. Nothing. There are probably some out by you, Cheddar's.
Yeah, we've got one or two of them out here. Some people love them. I don't know. I don't get it.
We ate at the one. I just happened. It was the one night. It was. The traffic was so bad, and we were starving, and we're driving, trying to find a place to eat. I'm like, okay, let's just try it. I've never been to one before.
Right.
Sure. I didn't even know it was a chain until we got into it. I'm like, okay, well, we'll see how it was. It was really good. So I mean, most places.
I don't mean to undersell it. I mean, it's good food. It doesn't strike me as something really special to go out of your way for.
Right. But. Exactly. But other than that, we had it one other place in Gatlinburg. It was kind of a brew pub. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I don't remember the name of it, but it was good, but it wasn't. Like,
right, okay, nothing outstanding that you would say.
Got to make a pilgrimage here to go there. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, looking back now, we kind of talked through the trip. The other thing that I wanted to know is, you know, looking back now, having already done the trip and obviously I assume paid the bills, right? Because we're now in March. A week at Dollywood, a week at Walt Disney World, you know, cost wise, How did it play out for you? I'm not asking for exact dollars, but
right. No, it was less expensive, for sure. The tickets, if you buy a season pass. Now, the other thing I did find out is a season pass is only a calendar year.
Okay, so it's unlike Disney. It's not a 12-month season pass. It's a calendar year pass.
It's calendar year pass, which we were kind of disappointed because. We were thinking about maybe going down in the fall and our passes are no longer good. They expired basically right after we got back.
Right. Cause you bought them in December.
Right. Exactly. So, a season pass is cheaper than 2-day tickets.
Okay.
So if you had to buy a ticket for 2 days, you know, two single days, you're better off buying a season pass. Also, they don't tell you this or anything. They have a second level with the season, or actually three levels. I didn't even look at the third level. They have a regular standard season pass, and they have a gold one. The gold one includes parking and 20% off of all souvenirs, all meals.
Okay.
You don't need to have, each person doesn't need to have a gold one.
Oh, that's a nice little bonus.
So I was, you know, I when I was looking at this, researching it, I'm like, it doesn't say I have to. I'm like, so I can do this. So I bought two standard passes for Renee and Naya, and I bought a gold pass for me. So we got free parking every day, which the gold pass is like $45 more than a standard pass.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it looks like, interesting. So, yeah, $45 for the gold pass, which gets you free parking and then the 20% off.
Right. So, in the parking alone, we paid it off. Just the gold pass. And we got all our, we got 20% off all our meals. We got 20% off of any of the souvenirs that we bought.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, that is a pretty, you know, substantial bonus benefit there.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So, that was well worth the extra $45 to pay for the gold pass. And what's, like I said, what makes it even better is you only have to buy one of them for your group.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that worked out really well, you know. And the one thing, the other good thing was, is everybody there is really good about asking if you have a gold pass.
Oh, so reminding you to check for it.
Yes. So every place we went, every time we paid for something, and I pulled out that pass, they're like, "You have a gold pass?" Yes, I do. Here it is. So that was really good about that, because you know sometimes you know they get lazier. They're like, "Oh, we're not going to say nothing if they say it." You know,
at most of the Disney stores and things, you know, they don't bother to. They're not going to encourage you to do it. They're happy to process the discount.
Right.
But they're not going to ask you for it.
Right. So that was really nice. Is like I said, I without a fail, we got 20% off of everything. You know, the only thing is the refills, because it's a rate discount, they say. So.
Oh, I see.
But you know, that was great, because like I said, you know, all your meals, all your any souvenirs that you bought, you got 20% off of.
Right, and my guess is that the parking gets covered, you know, just in a couple of days, because what's the parking generally run? What, $15-$20 a day?
Yeah, it was like 15 or 20, something like that. So, I mean, like you said, in the 3 days we went there, three different days, that alone paid off that. So, well worth it for that.
Looking back at this trip, you know, 2-3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, what are the things about it that are going to, you know, immediately come to mind? What are those memorable things about this particular trip going to be?
The entertainment in the park was just top-notch. Okay. Fantastic. That and the decorations at night were amazing. So, you know, the rides were, you know, they were nice. You know, they were good. But the entertainment just stood out. We were, you know, I had always heard it was good. I was more, I wouldn't say totally surprised, but I was very pleased at how good it was. You know,
okay. Even better than you expected, even though that was the one thing that had been built up.
Yes, yes. You know, doing some of the stuff, reading about it over the years, you know, it was always talked about as one of the places to go, and it really lived up to it.
Okay. And then, you know, the other kind of question that I like to use to wrap up is, you know, if another dad is considering a similar trip, doing something like this with his family for either for Christmas or just, you know, to go down and visit there, what one or two bits of advice would you give them? You know, things to definitely do, things to definitely avoid, whatever, things that would help them make sure that they get the most out of their trip as well.
Pretty much like with any of the parks, is make sure you get an early start, I think. But also stick around in the evening, because it really is very nice, especially at the holidays. make sure you. Oh, I'm sorry. We did do one other. We did do one other thing. Okay. It just came to mind. Was the Dolly Parton Stampede? It's like a horse show.
Oh, okay.
It's outside of the park. It's not, even though it's by Dolly. It's not really affiliated with the park per se.
Okay.
It's a totally different thing. It's like a dinner show.
Uh-huh.
And that was really cool. It was, you're in this big, big stadium, and it's all bench seating tables too. So that, you know, you're not sitting at a table where, you know, like four people around a square table. It's just rows.
Sort of beer garden type seating.
Yeah, right. And you're watching this performances, you know, equestrian type stuff. And it was really cool. Again, it had a very, being at the Christmas, they did a very much of a Christmas theme. And it had a lot of religious overtones to the show. It was very nice. To me, it was one of those shows where it was very great to see. I wouldn't see it every time I went there.
Right.
You know,
yeah, good show, but not something that's going to captivate you to see it multiple times.
Right. Right. So there was the other thing that we did do. As far as anything else, if you can do the Biltmore, that was really cool. And to me, if you especially. It probably wouldn't be as great with young kids to do the Titanic one, you know, because little kids would probably be pretty bored with it.
Okay.
But if you had older kids or just adults, I think that's well worth it.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Don, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing your experience at Dollywood. It's nice to get some, you know, different kinds of vacation perspectives.
Well, no problem. Anytime.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dreamfinder. Musical notes. What delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.